Take your Bibles tonight and turn with me, if you would please, to the book of 2 Corinthians chapter 5. When you find chapter 5 of 2 Corinthians, in verse number 20, I'd like to ask you if you're able tonight, would stand with me to reverence the reading of God's Word, and then I'll share with you a message or a thought at least tonight, or a lesson of what God has been impressing upon my heart and what I'm working towards and trying to get the hand of God on, and ask you to pray and then trust God to get His hand on. I've learned over the years that whatever God does put His hand on, He blesses it and it works. And whatever God doesn't put His hand on, it doesn't work. And the most important thing that I believe that a church can do is love people and reach people and try to win them to Christ. Everybody in the world needs to be saved. God loves this whole world. And God loved humanity so much that He gave up His only begotten Son that He would die for the world. And a Savior that loves the world like that deserves all of the strength and grace that you and I can give to help people know Jesus Christ as our personal Savior. So tonight my message is Ambassadors for Christ. 2 Corinthians chapter 5 and verse number 20. Now then, Paul writes, we are ambassadors for Christ, as though God did beseech you by us. We pray you in Christ's stead, be ye reconciled to God. Our Heavenly Father, I thank You tonight that Jesus has given us the hope of everlasting life. I thank You for the redemption that is in Christ tonight. I thank You, Father, that You have shown Your mercy upon those of us that have been saved, that have come to know You, God, in the free pardon of sin. So, as Sister Megan testified tonight, You are so sweet and precious, and we feel so undeserving of someone like You, Lord, that would show us such kindness and such mercy and such love. But Father, tonight You also have the desire that once we know You, that we would share You with others, that we would show the world around us the importance of the grace of God for their lives. Tonight I pray for the grace of God to strengthen me for this message and its deliverance. And I pray tonight, God, that You will minister it unto each of our hearts as believers. Help us to understand what it means to be an ambassador. And help us also, God, to realize tonight there are some things that are part of being an ambassador that we need to keep our eye on, and we need to work according to the power of God that lives in all of us. Thy Word says that You do exceeding abundantly above all that we could think or ask, according to the power of God which works in us. Holy Spirit, I pray that You'll give our church a compassionate heart for sinners. I pray that we'll have such a compassionate heart that when we talk to sinners, God, we can't help but weep in their presence. Weep because we love their soul, and weep because we love them as a person so much, God, that they'll find it interesting that we have that kind of compassion. I pray that it'll be a compassion that the Holy Spirit has given us. God, I pray tonight that we will be burdened by the great commission that our Savior gave to the world. And God, I pray that we can see people added to the Oak Lane Free Will Baptist Church. Of all the things that we could ever accomplish or achieve as a church, Lord, please help us to lead the lost to You. Please help them to know You, God, in the free pardon of sin. Please help them to find God's grace sufficient for their lives and their soul extremely happy in this place. And we'll be careful to give You the praise and the glory for it all, because we have asked it in Jesus' name and for His sake. Amen. You may be seated tonight. An ambassador tonight for Jesus Christ is what I'm wanting to try to impress upon your mind and upon your heart. And that ambassador tonight is not just a preacher or an ordained deacon of a church, but every child of God who is saved tonight is an ambassador. Sometimes in our Christian lives or our Christian experiences, we don't look at ourselves and see ourselves in that capacity. But an ambassador is an appointed representative of their country or their kingdom. And tonight we have a king that is over a kingdom. And that king is the Lord Jesus Christ. And that kingdom is the kingdom of heaven. And an ambassador is a spokesperson on behalf of their kingdom's leader. Our king tonight is on the throne in heaven, and he's at the right hand of God making intercession tonight. And so those of us who are now living in this earth and are heirs of the kingdom of God that is to come are his spokespeople here upon earth. Heaven is God's eternal kingdom, and you and I have been chosen for that kingdom but through the grace of God, and we have been appointed as the ambassadors of the Lord. And I've done a little looking into ambassadors, and there's a couple of things I want to share with you from some of the research that I came across. An ambassador is actually someone for the one that they're representing that it speaks for them and allows them to hear the message that we're actually receiving or conveying on behalf of our king. I don't have a message tonight separate from what the Word of God says. And you don't have a message tonight separate from what the Word of God says. And that's why tonight, if as ambassadors of Christ, we will represent Him properly, there will be an effective work that will be done in the life of a church. When you give your life to God, you become a member of the kingdom of heaven according to the Scriptures. In the book of Colossians chapter 1 and verse number 13, the Bible says that we have been translated into the kingdom of God's dear Son, the Lord Jesus Christ. That happened when God took me out of the kingdom of darkness and the kingdom of sin and unrighteousness, and by the Holy Spirit transferred me or translated me and you into the kingdom of Jesus Christ. Now at the time I was a babe in Christ, and you're a babe in Christ. And we don't often understand in those early years of our Christian life what our duties and our responsibilities are for God. But as we grow as a Christian, our life is to reflect the one that we represent here upon the earth. When the Bible says, walk ye as Christ walked, that's how we ought to live our lives daily upon this earth. Everyone that we come in contact with ought to be able to see a little bit of heaven in our lives. The rest of our time on earth, you're not just here for your plans or your interests, but you're here representing heaven to those that is around you. And as a matter of fact, the only real sample that many people will ever find of heaven are the people that they come in contact with. We ought to be conscientious about how we speak every day that we're speaking in the world. We ought to be conscientious about how we're conducting our behavior wherever we go and in whatever we are choosing to do upon this earth. You're not limited to your resources because you're not there representing yourself. Tonight, if I looked and thought I'm just a representative of myself, I would be powerless and ineffective. And I don't have the resources to build a church. I don't have the resources to be an effective pastor. But I serve a king tonight who has all the power and all of the resources that I'm ever going to need. And when I don't know what to do, I can turn to him and I can find the help that I need in representing here upon this earth. An ambassador has to develop and refine several personality traits and character virtues in order to be successful. And I want to give you three things tonight, real quickly, about the characteristics of a good ambassador. The first thing that the ambassador has to know is that he is setting or he is established upon a firm foundation. Would you take your Bibles and turn to the book of 1 Corinthians chapter 3 with me tonight. And notice what the Apostle Paul wrote in 1 Corinthians chapter 3 when he was writing about this very thought in verse number 11. Listen to what he said. Now bear in mind, the first characteristic of a successful ambassador is that he must have a firm foundation upon which he stands. Notice what Paul writes in verse 11 of 1 Corinthians chapter 3. For other foundation can no man lay than that is laid, which is Jesus Christ. And tonight, Jesus is our foundation. Can I get a witness tonight from the church? He is our foundation. We're not building our lives upon denomination, and we're not building our lives upon church creeds, but we're building our lives upon the Son of the living God, the one who was made in the likeness of sinful flesh and without sin, but who went out on Calvary and became sin for us, that you and I could become the righteousness of God in Him. And there's not another foundation that any person needs to lay or could lay on this earth than the Lord Jesus Christ. And so tonight, one of the reasons that I have the confidence that I have in the ministry and as a child of God and as an ambassador for Christ is I know upon which foundation my life and my faith has been established. We must be passionate. An ambassador must be passionate about his job. He can't be, or she can't be, someone that doesn't have a passion about the one that they are representing. I don't know about you tonight, but the name of Jesus stirs me. When I hear the name of Jesus mentioned in hymn songs, it stirs my heart. When I hear people tell of the wondrous works of Jesus, it's a blessing unto me. When I hear Jesus preached, it stirs me down inside. I'm kind of like the apostles who was walking with Him one day, and Jesus was giving to them the word of life and talking about the resurrection and all the things that was written in Psalms, and their heart burned within them while they heard the word of God. How many of you tonight enjoy the Word of God enough that it really stirs you when God's Holy Spirit begins to move on you as you're hearing the Word of God? And so a successful ambassador has to be passionate about their job. But without a growing relationship with Jesus Christ, we cannot succeed in our quest for the kingdom. You can't just float along a little while, and you can't just be super on fire one moment and super cold the next moment. And can I tell you tonight that as a child of God, that it is a daily work to keep yourself in the right place and keep yourself on the altar before God. We need to keep this old man of ours crucified. What am I talking about? The old man. I'm talking about the carnal man of flesh and the man who has wrong attitudes and wrong reflections of life. We need to get the old man out of the way so the new man, Jesus Christ, who lives in us, comes forth and they see the power of God in our lives. And if we have that kind of relationship, knowing that we're built upon the right foundation, we can become a successful ambassador. Here's the second thing that a successful ambassador must have. He must always be conscious of the fact that they are in the minority in their host country. People are, as God's people in this world, you and I must recognize that we're not in the majority. We never have been in the majority. We never will be in the majority. I know that when we go to Kenya or when we go to other places that I've been in the world, it's a different experience when you step into a land that you've never been to before. And when you recognize how far you are from your home and you realize that you're no longer under the authority of your government and that anything could happen that could change your life forever while you're in that place. You can't go in there and be somebody that you're not. But you've got to be humble in the sight of God and conscious of the fact that you're in the minority in that host country while you're there. And you've got to be able to relate with different types of people. Turn to 1 Corinthians chapter 9 and find verse 19 and listen to what Paul said. And this is where an ambassador has to also recognize how to labor and how they have to behave themselves in the minority. Verses 19 through 21 of 1 Corinthians 9. For though I be free from all men, yet have I made myself servant unto all, that I might gain the more, said Paul. Unto the Jews I became a Jew, that I might gain the Jews. To them that are under the law, as under the law, that I might gain them that are under the law. And to them that are without law, as without law, being not without law to God, but under the law to Christ, that I might gain them that are without the law. In other words, Paul said there in verse 22, he said, to the weak became I as weak, that I might gain the weak. And I am made all things to all men, that I by all means save some. And so an ambassador has to know what foundation he's built upon. And the ambassador has to secondly understand and be conscious of the fact that he's in the minority. And he's got to be able to relate to different people with different personalities and different characteristics. And an ambassador, listen carefully, has to be diplomatic. They have to use tact, and they have to use wisdom, and they have to use discretion. Jesus said, do not cast your pearls before swine. Right here in America, there's some people that you better learn how to be tactful with, and you better learn how to be discretionary with, and you also need to be wise enough and sensitive enough to the Holy Spirit that you don't cast the pearl of great price in a position with them or in a place with them that they can rend it and trample it under their feet. Love God with all your heart, soul, mind, and strength. Remember whose foundation you're built upon. You're in the minority in the world, but be tactful and graceful and full of the love of God and be sensitive to the Holy Spirit. If you can see somebody is really harsh and really rude and somebody that's ready to attack you like a dog that's ready to pounce on you, you better be careful that you don't cause them to say something that they could regret for all of eternity. And then here's the third thing of a successful ambassador. A good ambassador is entirely grounded in ethical and moral judgment. You have to be a person of good ethics and a person of moral judgment. You can't go out there and win the lost by testifying to them of what their need is if you're not keeping good ethics in your own life and not good moral judgments in your own self. And the only way for Christ's ambassador to be able to do this is to have the Holy Ghost of God dwelling within us. Folks, listen tonight. We cannot live this Christian life apart from the power of the Holy Ghost. You just can't succeed without the power of the Holy Spirit. So in sum, of all ambassadors have one thing in common. They have to believe in their mission, their goals, and their values of the one that they represent. And we are to be called to be strangers in this world, but we're not to blend in. We're not just to just blend into the society, but we're to proudly represent Christ our advocate. I don't know about you tonight, but I'm not ashamed of Jesus Christ. I'm not ashamed of Him in the bank I do business with. I'm not ashamed of Him in the restaurant I eat in. I'm not ashamed of Him in the grocery store that I'm in. I don't go around doing hallelujahs and cartwheels in the grocery store and acting like a monkey in there. But I'll tell you this, my friend, if the Holy Ghost stirs me and God moves me in that store, I will do what the Spirit of God tells me to do. You've seen people all over this world that have behaved in those ways. And I have too. And I want to tell you something, friends. Sometimes they anger people when they do that. And you'll turn people off if you don't handle your ambassadorship in a right fashion. So remember tonight, as an ambassador, Paul says in verse number 20, you're an ambassador for Christ. And it's as though God is beseeching others by you to be reconciled unto Himself. And three simple things that you need to always pay attention to. The first thing, and the message isn't long tonight, because number one, God didn't give me more than what I'm going to give you tonight. And number two, I'm so tired I can't hardly stand up here and give it to you tonight. I'm slapped, wore out. So pray that God will give me the grace to get through this. The first thing that you must always keep your eyes focused on is what is my assignment. What, God, is my assignment? And listen to me, that assignment must be founded in the Word of God. And so tonight, with that being said, look at chapter 5 and verse number 18. What I want you to see in verse 18 are these words. That God, He said, was in Christ, reconciling the world unto Himself, not imputing their trespasses unto them. God didn't impute my trespasses, and He didn't impute your trespasses. But what God came to do was impute His righteousness over my trespasses, apply His blood to my sinful ways of life, and impute to me the righteousness of God. And notice what He has given us in verse number 18 when He says that He has given to us the ministry of reconciliation. Tonight you say, well, people know where the church is. They sure do. And if they know where the church is, why do we need to go invite them to church? Won't they just come? Your Bible says, none seeketh after the Lord. No, not one. And you say, people don't want to be invited to church. Well, that doesn't excuse us and relieve us of the responsibility. Because according to verse number 18, we have the assignment of the ministry of reconciliation. And that ministry is in a variety of ways. Sometimes that ministry can be when people are afflicted, even unsaved people are sick and they're afflicted, and you're a neighbor to them. You can do some things to help them. I saw a lost man that lived beside me that I thought, man, oh man, if there was anybody in the world that plays a good witness for who he is as a character, it was that man. When he learned of anybody in our neighborhood who was sick, he saw to it in the summer months their yard was mowed by going and doing that for himself. And not only did he do that, but he would trim their bushes and he would do extra work. And you say, well, I don't have the time to do that. If you're going to do a ministry, you have to recognize that it's more than just walking up to somebody and handing them track. It's more than just walking up and knocking on a door. You've got to live an example of whose foundation you're building upon. And you got to understand what ministry is. Ministry sometimes is feeding somebody that's hungry. Ministry is sometimes helping somebody that's discouraged. Ministry is sometimes helping folks who can't help themselves find their way to the answers that they're seeking for in life. And how many of you understand tonight that there's a lot of lost people in the world who needs a true, genuine friend? And that's what Christians are to be. Here's another thing that you need to watch for in this assignment. The ministry of reconciliation, verse 18. But then look at verse 19, at the word of reconciliation. God does not want you to be ignorant in His word. How many of you tonight, in your own heart, would be honest enough with yourself and don't raise your hand or demonstrate this? But how many of you fail to witness because you think you're ignorant in the Bible? You're not trusting the Holy Spirit. You're not as ignorant in the Bible as you think you are. You say, well, I can't quote it like you do, Brother Mike, or I can't recall chapter and verse. There's nothing about witnessing that God says you have to do that. You just need to understand what the Word of God does say. And many of you that have been saved do know what the Word of God says. If you were explaining Jesus to somebody, could you tell them who Jesus is? Could you tell them that He's the Son of the living God? Could you tell them that from the beginning He coexisted with His Father? He was the Word in the beginning. That's what He was to God. God is a Spirit and Jesus was the Word in the beginning. But God loved the world so much and didn't want the world to perish that He didn't just send anyone. He sent His own Word into the world, His own Son into the world, who was the Word, and that Word became flesh. And He didn't bring Him into the flesh by natural conception, but He brought Him into conception by His own Spirit, His own power. He used a human woman. And He brought His own power upon that woman because she too said, how shall this be, seeing that I know not a man? And the angel of the Lord said, the power of the high shall overshadow thee, and the Holy Ghost shall come upon you. Do you understand tonight, church, that when the power of the highest one overshadows you, things change. The glory of God comes down and changes all of the inabilities of man and puts them in the controlling hand of God, who can make everything possible in our lives. With men, these things are impossible, but with God, all things are possible. And so tonight, don't shortchange yourself and think you don't know enough of the Bible to be a witness. You say, well, I don't want to get into an argument, and you shouldn't get into an argument. And there's people out there that's all they want to do. And they're looking for a good argument. I was in the office on the phone today, and our cast was here eating some lunch and getting ready for the program tonight. And someone bounded in here and had a paper written out, and he was jumping around and acting sort of like what they explained to me, that he was angry, and there was a little bit of concern on some of our people's hearts of what was this man in here to do. And he was talking about all of the wrong things, about how did Jesus get into the womb of Mary, and where did December 25th become the day of Christmas? There are some questions sinners bring up that are not worth the debate over. What you need to do when somebody starts all that nut job stuff is just say, hold on, quiet them down. And if they won't shut up, walk away from them, because you're not going to do them any good. And they're not there to find truth. They're there to argue with you. And Jesus said, don't cast your pearl before swine. That's what swine is. they don't appreciate what they could learn if they would listen. And we have a word of reconciliation. Who is that word? Jesus Christ. Say it with me, church. Jesus Christ. If you're saved tonight, Jesus is your Savior. Amen. He's your foundation. He's your word of reconciliation. You don't have to be a Bible scholar. You don't have to be biblically intelligent. But if you can answer some of their questions with the best knowledge you have, give them the answer, but don't give them the wrong answer. And if they ask you a question you don't have the answer to, tell them, I don't know the answer to that, but I will endeavor to find that out. Give me your number and give me a contact of you where I can get back to you with the answer. And by doing that, you're keeping yourself connected to them where you can go back with the answer and have another chance of giving them the word to bring them to reconciliation. Here's a third thing that you've got to be watching for in the assignment. The reaching out and the beseeching part. Look at verse 20. Paul says, we are ambassadors for Christ as though God did beseech you. Now that word beseech is a old English word that he's using, but it's a word that means to seek out. Do you remember when Jesus was here on the earth, he said he come to seek and save the lost? Well, listen to me tonight. If we're his ambassadors, we should be watching for and looking for lost people that we can witness to and that we can help. And so reaching out to them in verse number 20 is that because we are the ambassadors for Christ and we beseech others on his behalf, what are we to do? Pray you that you be in that in Christ's stead you be reconciled to God. Who's Paul talking to there? Is he talking to some fantasy person? And no, he's talking to the Corinthian believers. And this scripture is written to you and I tonight. You and I have a work of ministry to do for Christ here on this earth. And you and I have a word of reconciliation, a ministry of reconciliation, and a word of reconciliation. And you and I have to learn to reach out. And in our reaching out efforts, we need also to learn the method of how to beseech other people. Look at chapter 6 of 2 Corinthians, verse 1. We are workers together, is what Paul said. We then as workers together with him. He's in me, I'm in him, and we are in this thing together. And if I'm working for him as an ambassador, and I'm seeking others, reaching out unto others, I must not trust in my own ability, but I must trust in the power of God to help me. And you must do the same thing, believing God will help you. Now, I want you to find verse 11 of 2 Corinthians chapter 5. Because I want you to see some important things that as we work together in Christ, why we do the work that we do. These are simple things. Look at verse 11. Why should I be an ambassador for Christ, knowing the terror of the Lord? Do you know the terror of God? How many of you understand the terror of God? How many of you go back into the book of Genesis and see the terror of God in the days of Noah? When the Spirit of God was patient with people for 120 years. And all those 120 years, Noah and his family continued building the ark, preparing it for the saving of their house. The New Testament says of Noah that he was a preacher of righteousness. And Noah in his day as he was building that ark, when people would come around and say, what are you building and why are you building it? And Noah would say to them, God has warned me that he's going to destroy the world with a flood of waters. And Hebrews chapter 11 tells us that God had warned Noah, and Noah being warned moved with fear. There is some things we ought to have fear, and one of the persons we ought to have fear of is God Almighty himself. And Noah had fear of the judgment that was going to come upon the land. And he started obeying God and building that ark. And God gave him multiplicity of opportunities to witness to people and to preach to people. And don't get discouraged just because you don't win everybody you talk to. Noah preached 120 years and the only people he took on board the ark with him was his family. Listen to me. If you can get nobody but your family to heaven, that's a great feat. Did you hear what I said? If you can get nobody but your family to heaven, that is a great accomplishment. And you should strive to win your dad and your mom if they're not saved. You should strive to win your son or your daughter if they're not saved. If your son has married a girl that's not saved, you should strive to win her to Christ. If you've got a daughter-in-law that's not saved, you should try to reach her, or a son-in-law that's not saved, you should try to reach them. If you've got little grandchildren that are growing up and they haven't been saved, you should try to reach them. The first mission field God gives you is your Jerusalem. The Bible said, go ye into Jerusalem and then into Judea and then into all the uttermost parts of the world. It's not doing any good going everywhere else in the world if we are not trying to win our Jerusalems. But if you look at verse 11, knowing the terror of the Lord, look at how many people lost their lives because they wouldn't come on board the ark. And it wasn't because they wasn't told. And what about the terror of the Lord with Sodom and Gomorrah? And what about the terror of the Lord when He opened the ground and swallowed Korah, Dathan, and Abiram? Are you listening to me tonight, Oak Lane Church? God is a God of judgment. He is a holy God, a righteous God, a God who will deal with people's sins. But He's a long-suffering God and merciful. And tonight, the reason that God hasn't brought judgment upon the world, in spite of all the wickedness that it is because God is patiently waiting for the church to wake up and start winning some of these people to the Lord Jesus Christ. In verse number 11, He says, knowing the terror of the Lord, that's one of the reasons we do this. Then I want you to look down, if you would, at verse 14 and 15. Another reason that we should be ambassadors is for the love of Christ constrains us. Now, I wanted you to be honest with yourself because, listen, I can preach my internal intestines out if this doesn't affect you. Does your desire to reach people, is it because the love of Christ constrains you for them? How much of the love of Christ do you have for that lost person that you'll spend time with doing everything else in the world but reaching out in faith? I'm not saying that it's wrong that you cook out and eat with them. I'm not saying that it's wrong that you go on vacation with them. But if you go do everything you go do with them and you never reach out to them in their soul, what good is it doing you? And here's what a lot of people say. I've heard churches do this. Churches have said, we need to start a softball team, get in the summer leagues, and we'll use it as an avenue of soul winning. Never happens. I've never seen a church, and I've pastored for a lot of years, that used it right. Because they get out on the ball field, and a lot of those guys they bring in to play don't even go to that church. And those guys get mad and get to cussing, and they're a reflection on that church. I've seen some of them drive up with their coolers and they got their beer. Not in the churches that I pastor, because I'm telling you right now, if I pastor the church and that's happening, the ball game's over. I'll walk in the dugout. I don't care if every ball player in there gives me a whip, and I'm telling boys, the game's over right here now. You get your beer and get out of here, and you're not going to put guys on this team that's a poor reflection of what the church is. So when you say, well, I'm just getting close to them, I'm just warming them up, you don't need to warm them up. They're getting hotter than hell every day. You don't need to warm them up. They're getting closer and closer every day to the fire. They're getting closer and closer every day to the opening of the pit. Oh, I don't think my loved one will go to hell. I think God somehow will be merciful to them. Are you kidding? Do you really believe that? You hear me tonight. Nobody will go to heaven that has not repented of their sins and asked Jesus to be their Savior. And nobody who says that Jesus is their Savior, he's not really their Savior if they don't follow Him. Jesus said, follow me and I will make you fishers of men. You couldn't be a good fisherman if you didn't follow Jesus. Look at verse 15. Here's another reason. The love of Christ constrains us. Why? Because we judge that if one died for all, then all were dead. In verse 15, he that died for all, and that he died for all, they which live, should henceforth not live unto themselves, but unto him which died for them and rose again. So you see, we tonight as an ambassador, we need to know what our assignment is. It's a ministry of reconciliation. It is a word of reconciliation. It's a work of reconciliation. It's a working of our lives together with Jesus Christ and doing it because we know God's terror, doing it because of the constraining love of God, and doing it because we know He died for all, and because He died for all, therefore, everyone needs Jesus Christ. Amen? Here's the second thing. Not only do we need to keep our eyes as an ambassador on the assignment, but we need to keep our eyes that there is an accepted time that this work can be done in. Look at 2 Corinthians chapter 6, verse 2. He saith, I have heard thee in a time accepted, and in the day of salvation have I succored thee. That word succored there is not deception. God does not bring anybody into the faith through deception. God is not deceiving anybody. God only brings people into a relationship with Himself through His Son Jesus Christ through the truth. That's why Paul told Timothy, preach the word, preach the truth, give out the truth. The truth is what sets people free. Hey, how many of you understand tonight that generally truth will make most people angry before they get happy about it? I've noticed this down through the years, that people that really do get right and really get saved, and many of them have told me that I've pastored through the years. I've had lots of people tell me, Brother Mike, before I really gave my heart to Jesus, you could make me so mad when you preached on Sunday. And I said, did you think I was trying to make you mad? And they said, I didn't know. It just seemed like you was getting under my skin. And I said, you know why that everything I said got under your skin? Because it was against everything you was doing. I didn't know everything you was doing, but God who sits on the throne knows everything you was doing. And you was wanting to hold on to everything you was doing with one hand, and you wanted somehow to try to figure out, how can I get a hold of God with the other hand and keep hold of them both? It doesn't work. You're going to let go of something one way or the other. And I said, well, why'd you change your mind? They said, got so miserable. We'd stay away from church and God wouldn't leave us alone there. And you wouldn't either. You'd keep coming. And I want to tell you this tonight, friend. I've said this before in other messages. I want to tell you this again. When you start touching people, you can't touch them once and leave them be. When you touch them with the gospel, you touch their life, you better befriend them and keep touching them, however long it takes till God saves them. You see, God said, I've heard you in an accepted time. Oftentimes people say, I'll go to God when I get ready. You can't come to God except He draws you. Did you know that? And He draws every soul that's on this earth. And He said, I've heard you in an acceptable time, and listen to this, and in a day of salvation will I save you. When is that day? Your Bible will tell you there that now is the accepted time in verse 2 of chapter 6. Now is the accepted time, and now is the day of salvation. This is the opportune time that we live in. We can be negative about the society we live in today, and we could say that it's the worst we've ever seen it. And you know why it seems more worse than it has in years gone by? The world population is greater, and it's more open, it's more out there. But sin has always been in the world since Adam, and wickedness has always been in the world, and corruption will always be in the world. But that doesn't mean that we cannot reach people for Christ. We must reach them. And we must do so in the accepted time. In chapter 4 of the Gospel of Luke, Jesus went into the temple one day, and He stood up to read, as was the custom in that day, and they brought Him the book of Isaiah. And Jesus found the part in the book of Isaiah which said that He had come to preach the acceptable year of the Lord. You know what when the acceptable year of the Lord began? When Jesus cried out on Mount Calvary, it is finished, He opened a way to all of the world. From that time to this time, the acceptable year has been in place. When He arose from the dead and ascended back to heaven, and the Holy Spirit came and empowered the church to go forth, and they began to preach the gospel of Jesus Christ, we saw the evidence of that acceptance in the fact that 3,000 people got saved. We're not going to see people saved just talking about it. We're not going to see people saved just praying about it. We'll see people saved when we work at it and we strive to reach them for the cause of Jesus Christ. The last thing that an ambassador needs to do is he needs to know his assignment. He needs to know the accepted time that he's going to be working in. And then he has to be approving himself unto the Lord. Look at chapter 6 now. And look at verse 4, and I'm going to go from verse 4 down through verse 10. You can read along with me and see this. In all things, we are approving ourselves as the ministers of God. And when the Bible uses that term, ministers of God, He's not talking about pastors, He's not talking about evangelists. Every person that's an ambassador is a minister of God. If you're saved tonight, you're an ambassador for Jesus Christ. You have to know what foundation you're built upon. You have to remember that you're in the minority. And you have to be passionate about the one you represent. If you're not excited about Jesus, if you're not deeply in love with Jesus, if you're not having a growing relationship with Jesus, how are you going to convince people they need what you have? They need to know you're loving in a love relationship with Christ. They need to know that He's doing something wonderful and marvelous in your life. Hey, if some doctor helps you, and praise God for good physicians who can do surgeries and help us, and we will tell everybody about that surgeon, and people should learn about him, because if they ever run into that problem, they need that good surgeon. Can you say amen? Well, what about the great physician? He's the one that can heal all of the worst ills of humanity, their sins. You can get over heart disease, you can get over cancer, you can get over a lot of things. But if you don't get through the blood of Jesus Christ, you'll never get over what you'll spend in eternity regretting. And Paul said, we are always approving ourselves as the ministers of God in what? In patience. How many of you can say, there's one I struggle with? In afflictions. If you're saved tonight, you're going to have troubles and afflictions. Many are the afflictions of the righteousness or the righteous. He said we're going to have to approve ourselves not only as ministers of God in patience and afflictions, but in necessities and distresses. In Paul's letter here, he had been striped. Thank God we're not being whipped for our faith today. Yet we're not being imprisoned, but that could happen. In tumults and in labors and watchings and fastings, by pureness, by knowledge, by long suffering, by kindness, by the Holy Ghost, by love unfeigned, by the word of truth. These are things we have to approve in ourselves in. By the power of God, by the armor of righteousness on the right hand and on the left, by honor and dishonor, by evil report and good report, as deceivers and yet true, as unknown and yet well known, as dying, and behold, we live, as chastened and not killed, as sorrowful, yet always rejoicing, as poor, yet making many rich, as having nothing, and listen, yet possessing it all. That describes all of us as Christians, doesn't it? You may not have much physically and financially in this world, but if you have Jesus, you're a poor, rich man. And I'd rather be that than to have the riches of the world and not have Jesus. Why have I preached some of the messages that I've preached? Let me take you back for just a moment. I preached a message to you on building the church through evangelizing the lost. If we're going to build a church, and that's what God wants us to do, He didn't want us to be a society. He didn't want us to just be a playhouse. He didn't want us to just perpetually go through the motions. We come here and worship, and I think that we have good worship in our church. But we need to be bringing sinners to Jesus Christ. We need to do it because, if you remember in that message, I told you that we have to learn that there's a commission that God gave us. And that commission is we're to go to into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. Jesus said, make disciples of them, baptize them in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Ghost. In the book of Mark, He said, preach the gospel to every creature. He that believes that it is baptized shall be saved. So we're to be reaching out to win souls. And we can't do that effectively, church, if we don't have a burden for it. What do you mean a burden for? I mean a burden for the obedience to the command to go. Obedience for the command to go. And then we need to be broken with compassion. If you looked at all the people that Jesus ministered to, He saw them as sheep having no shepherd. If Jesus could look out upon the world of His day and see folks wandering about as sheep with no shepherd, what is the world like today? There's a whole world full of people that have nobody helping them. Drug addicts, alcoholism, thieves and robbers. Most everybody in the world is on the road that they can get wounded and left for dead on. And the priests of the church can come by, and the Levite of the church can come by, and one pass by on one side and say, you know, I don't believe I want to get involved with that. And the other can pass by and say, well, you know, I don't believe that I want to spend as much as it may take there. But Jesus said the man that both the Jews, the priest, and the Levite hated was a Samaritan. He come to where this man was. And he saw him wounded and left there for dead. And the Bible said that he poured in the oil and the wine and he bound up his wounds and set him on his own beast. He had to spend some time and he had to show some care and some concern. And he led the man down to the town and put him up in an inn. He knew the man didn't have no money. He had been robbed. But he went down to the innkeeper and he said, here's 2 pence. Take care of him. And when I come back, if I owe you any more, I'll pay that also. You see, if we're going to be able to win people, we've got to show them compassion. You can't win people if they don't believe that you're serious about their soul. Most sinners that you'll deal with are not serious about their soul. But I'm going to tell you something. God will start convicting them if He sees a broken compassion in you. And God promised us that we can build the church because if you look in Matthew 28, God promised that He would bless us with converts. Winning people is not something I know how to do, but I do know how to reach out. I do know how to show compassion. And you can too. And you do not need to say tonight that I don't know what the ministry of reconciliation is. Won't you look for somebody you can feed? Won't you look for somebody that needs some clothes? Why don't you look for somebody that you can be a real help to in some way? Why don't you understand tonight that the Word of God lives in you, Jesus Christ? And if you've read your Bible any at all as a child of God, you don't have to quote verse and scripture. All you got to know is how to tell them of the love of God. Last week I preached to you on this message, a man in hell is pleading for somebody to go. That rich man lived on this earth and he had an old beggar that laid out at his gate and he wouldn't even give him the crumbs which fell from his table. That man had enough money to have got him a doctor and got him some help for those sores that was on him. Perhaps it was those that got worse and infected that took his life. When the beggar died, the angels of God came and got him and carried him into the kingdom of God. And when the rich man died, he was in a different place. The Bible said in hell he lifted his eyes and he saw that beggar on the other side of that great divide. And he began to plead, send him to dip his finger in water and cool my tongue. If you take your finger and dip it in water and watch the droplet fall from the end of your finger, is much larger than a breadcrumb. What he was not willing to do for that poor beggar, he's now asking for more than he deserves. And the Lord had to tell him, those who are here cannot pass over to you there. Neither can you that are there pass over here. And when that rich man come to realize that his fate was sealed, and he come to understand that life is futile, and that it's fatal, and that it's final, the rich man then gave his plea. I want you to send somebody to my father's house. What was the plea that he had? What were the prospects of it? He said, I've got 5 brothers. Now you see, if that rich man had known what Lazarus had known, he would have been working on those 5 brothers. But he didn't learn it till he got in hell. And there's a lot of people that's not going to learn the lesson that they need to learn in life, but they'll learn it in hell where it will do them no good. And the rich man's plea was, send him to my 5 brothers. If one comes back from the dead, they'll believe. Jesus said, no, they won't. They've got the Word of God. If they won't believe that, they won't be saved. You know why I said you have the Word of reconciliation in you? I want you to hear me tonight. People aren't going to get saved because you play softball with them. People aren't going to get saved because you fish with them. People aren't going to get saved because you play and have fun with them. People are going to get saved when they see you are broken for them and you're convicted over them and you're giving them the very best of your heart that God has put in there, which is Jesus Christ. He's the Word of reconciliation. And you've got to trust God to win them. And so what was the purpose for these guys to go back and testify to his 5 brethren? That's the purpose, is to testify. tonight I want you to listen as we get an invitation song ready. You know all that soul winning is just testifying. You don't know who God's dealing with. You don't know how God might be dealing with people. Everybody that God is dealing with is not sitting in a church house. Some people God's dealing with is sitting in a bank somewhere, or an office, or in a factory. Some people God is dealing with sitting in a hospital room. Some people God is dealing with is sitting in the jailhouse or in the penitentiary. Some people that God is dealing with is going through one of the most difficult days and hours of their life. It could be that they're having all kinds of mechanical problems, all kinds of financial problems. They're having all kinds of tragic things. It seems like one after another just keeps happening in their life. And sometimes people say, life is just not worth living anymore. And listen, when people start making statements like that, you know what they're considering? They're considering suicide. Suicide's a problem in the society today. And you know why people kill themselves? When the fear of living is worse than the fear of dying, that's when they'll take their life. People that's always blurting it out, I just think I'm going to end it all, I'm going to go kill myself. You need to take some concern about that, but I want to tell you the people that you've got to be most concerned about is when you see them ebbing closer and closer to the bottom of their life and they're getting more quiet and more silent and more withdrawn. They're the ones you're likely to find a note from. I decided today to end it all. There was a young man in Lebanon, Missouri that my brother told me about that he said we'd talk to him about Jesus. He'd gone to a Pentecostal church. He was interested in what the people was feeling as they were dancing and jumping and leaping around in the church. And I'm not here tonight to belittle that or make light of that. I love to see people enjoy their salvation. I love to see people so happy down inside of themselves, they can't contain it and they want to shout and they want to holler and they want to jump. Hey, by the way, that'll work in a Baptist church. Did you know that? It's good here the same as it is in a Pentecost church. But this young man, he said, I wish I could feel like that and I wish I understood that. And the people, and my brother said this, he said, and I'm guilty, he said, you know all we had on our mind? We knew he was a drug addict, we knew he shot himself up, and all we could talk about was the condemnation that he was living under. We didn't give him any encouragement, we didn't give him any hope, we just criticized drugs and we criticized people that use the drugs. And he said, before we got home, he took a belt and fixed it around a rafter and took another belt and hung himself. And leaped out into eternity. And my brother said, I hate myself so bad. Because not one time did we tell him there's a better high than drugs. There's a high and holy one that you need to get a hold of. But he said, now eternity has sealed his fate and it's over. I want to tell you, folks, if you've never lost anybody that you were trying to win to Christ, and you lose them and you lose them to hell, you won't sleep for several days. I went out to see a young man that worked in a shop that one of my friends in Lebanon, Missouri had a body shop. And I went in there and he was busy at the moment and he said, Dave's not here. He thought I was there to see Dave. I said, well, I'm actually here to see you. He said, okay. He said, I'll be right there. And I went in there to talk to him because God kept impressing me. And I told him, I said, well, I'll tell you what, I'll be back later. And so I left. And I didn't drive 2 miles down the road till I felt like I was going to die and I had to turn around and go back. And when I got back there was a shop full of people there that was in between me and him. And my impatience of not willing to stay and wait, because I could have canceled other things that I needed to go do because that young man's soul was important. But I didn't stay. And that night when he got in his car and left, he told my best friend, he said, see you in the morning, Dave. And Dave said, you bet, and gave him a thumbs up. And less than 2 miles away from that shop, he met a drunk on a curve. And he went out into eternity. And Dave called me and he said, did you get to talk to him this morning? And I said, no, I didn't, Dave. Why? And he said, he's gone, Mike. Said, he's in hell. I said, did you ever talk to him? He said, no. He said, that's why I wanted you to come. Everybody wants the preacher to go do it. But you're the preachers. You're the preachers. The ministry of reconciliation belongs to us all. That doesn't excuse me. I've got to do it too. But don't ask me to do what God wants you to do in your own families. When I know you do it in your own families, you can ask me and I'll be happy to go. I want to go. I'd love to go. But I want to tell you, it won't work if you're not doing it too. It's time that we become the ambassadors Christ called us to become. Let's stand to our feet tonight. Father, I'm sorry, God, that I'm so weak in my body tonight and I didn't rest myself properly this afternoon. And I hope, God, that if I've made a mess of this sermon, you'll forgive me. But I do know, God, that we are now, this present hour, ambassadors for Christ. By us, God, who are your ambassadors, do you beseech them that are lost. We all need to find our ministry of reconciliation with people. What is it, God, that we can do that effectively will help people come to know you? We all have Christ, the Word of God, living in our hearts, and we've got Bibles we can read. We may not have good memories and can have recall of chapter and verse, but you didn't call us to go out to prove people wrong, and you didn't call us to go out and debate people over issues. You called us to go out and love people and to show them the love of Christ and to witness to them to be reconciled unto God. And our Heavenly Father, we have to be sensitive to the fact that we have this assignment and there is an accepted time in which we are to do that assignment. And you've said that this is the year of salvation and today is the day of salvation. This is the acceptable time to lead people to Christ. We're always going to be approving ourselves in all of the afflictions and the many different things that go on in our own personal life. And we'll seem as true to some and deceiver as others. But God, though we be poor, we possess all the riches of eternal heaven. And we have the ability, God, if we'll only step up and become what you've called us to be, ambassadors. And we can help people get saved. If a church has a good music program, and we do, and if a church has good teachings of the Word and ministry of the Word, and I feel like our church has that, and if a church has a friendly atmosphere and loving kindness among them, and I believe we have that, those are good qualities and good characteristics. But they'll never get people saved, God, until we get burdened for the commission that you've given us to go and broken with compassions for the conditions of souls of men. When that happens, we'll be blessed with converts. Who in hell tonight is pleading for some of us to go and testify? People here have an experience with you, God. They just need to be telling others about it and doing so unashamedly. They have to use tact as an ambassador. They have to recognize the appropriate time, when, and where. And I pray that they'll become sensitive to the Holy Spirit. I pray, Lord, that they'll begin to ask you, make me aware, God, when you really want me to speak. And if they'll do it, God, they'll find that the resource to reach people is not themselves. It's the power of God in them. Bless our church family tonight. As Ryan sings this verse of invitation, Lord, tonight I pray. I don't know what people need or don't need tonight. I don't know who they need to pray for or don't need to pray for. But I just want to never have a service and not open the altars. Because there may be somebody here that would be saved tonight, or there may be somebody here that would rededicate their life if they're backslidden. Or there may be somebody here tonight, God, that has a heavy burden and they need to pray and cast the care upon you. And there may be those here tonight, God, that are thinking about somebody that they're going to start reaching out to and beseeching as an ambassador of Christ to win them for you. I look forward to the day when our church is full of joy over the people being saved. We're trying to do things, God, to get ready for all of this. And it'll be futile, God, if you don't put your hand on it and bless it. Help us now as we bring our services to a close. Brother Ryan, you sing and you mind and obey the Lord tonight in whatever God directs your heart to do.